If you look back, the first Super Bowl, all this hype, this rival league. Now, the Super Bowl is a long way from what it is today. But it was big, and it was big for the Green Bay Packers, who were the team, and so there was enormous pressure on Vince Lombardi, enormous pressure on the Packers to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. And I remember watching a game on television, really nervous. I'm always nervous during sporting events, so that one. But the sense of satisfaction that you got watching the Green Bay Packers win the first Super Bowl, that would be hard to beat under any circumstances. Given the franchise, I mean, the Packers have really, really had great moments, but hard to really beat the first Super Bowl. That's football history at its best.
The thing that inspires me most about Bud Selig is that he's just a kind, caring, compassionate man. And he does a lot of things for people that nobody ever knows about, to help people out in a variety of ways.
When my dad believes something is the right thing to do, he will always do what he believes is the right thing. Always. Even if it's a difficult thing to do. In all aspects of life.
I do have a lot of patience, but here was a struggle. The Braves leave Milwaukee. Heartbreaking, really tough story. And I'm just 29 years old, and how I got in the middle of all that is an amazing story. But I wasn't going to take no for an answer, and I guess I was too young to understand how high the odds were.
I was 13 years old when my dad brought baseball back to Milwaukee. We watched him make attempt after attempt. I will remember those trips and giving him little notes and kind of a lucky dollar bill before he'd go on these trips, and finally being successful and bringing the Brewers to town.
He sort of saved baseball in Milwaukee, and he sort of preserved Major League Baseball for the country.
Watching him being so dedicated to what he believed in and never giving up and just keep trying. I'm sure he was dejected, but he never let us see that side. You know, he just persevered, kept trying until he was successful.
5.5 years is a long time. You go through a lot of disappointment. We got turned down a lot. On the night that it happened, March 31st, it was all worth the wait. That was a good lesson for me because it taught me the value of patience. And in the end, it worked out, and it worked out great.
He brought this franchise to Milwaukee. He kept this franchise here when it looked like it wasn't going to be able to stay. He got Miller Park built. He revolutionized the game of baseball, has made baseball relevant.
He cares so much about the fans in baseball. Everything he did as commissioner was for the best interest of the game. And sometimes people didn't understand that.
He liked to return phone calls to people, too, who sent him letters and talked to the fans. And he liked to walk out through the parking lot before the games and talk to fans.
That will always be my proudest accomplishment because it was against unbelievable odds. I mean, against us.
I think that he will go down as one of the best commissioners in history, if not the best.
Bud Selig and I go back to the 1960s. I was working at Marquette University in 1965 when the Braves left town and moved to Atlanta. And so I felt as disappointed. I had gotten to the 57 World Series, the 58 World Series. I had a nice job where I stood up in the upper deck above first base and put film into a bucket and lowered the bucket down to the ground floor, pulled the bucket back up, watched about 4 innings, and then lowered the bucket again. So I love baseball and love the Braves. And so I was as disappointed as anybody. And when I would go to league meetings, I would run into Bud Selig, who was there trying to convince the owners to get baseball back into Milwaukee. And I went up and introduced myself to Bud at one time and told him that I had gone to Marquette and worked at Marquette and that I was sure pulling for him to get this. And we formed an instant friendship.
One of my closest friends and great counselors, Bob Harlan, the president of the Packers, and I was on the Packer board. And Bob and I would spend a lot of time, as he will well remember, talking about, you know, the NFL had revenue sharing and so on, and we didn't, and, you know, how difficult it was for the Brewers as opposed to the Packers and so on and so forth. So, yeah.
He's a winner. He's a survivor. He survived a tremendous battle to get Major League Baseball back into Milwaukee. Survived a lot of battles with an ownership that was very difficult. I mean, to get revenue sharing and was huge for baseball. And he did so many other things that helped baseball, that made it different than it had ever been in the 22 years he was commissioner.
I've met a lot of people in sports since 1960. I don't think there's anybody anywhere who I have more respect for not only his integrity, but his intellect and everything else, than Bob Harlan. And we went through a lot of different tough situations together. I went through a tough stadium situation. He went through a tough stadium situation. And we always tried to help one another and did. I've made some really, really wonderful friends in my career. But there's no one I treasure any more with respect and friendship than I do Bob Harlan. He's just a really good human being. There's no other way to say it.
We've had a wonderful, warm relationship through the years. And in fact, I was fortunate enough a few years to go into the Wisconsin Sports Hall of Fame. And I asked Bud to be my presenter. That's how much I thought of him. And he did. But he's a dear friend. I respect him immensely.
Well, it's got to mean a great deal to not only to me and the coaches, but to the players, and we just hope we can repay you as quickly as possible.
We got the team after 5.5 years. I walk in the office early in the morning. This is April 1st, 1970. Lady's sitting at the switchboard. She introduced herself and said, "Oh, Mr. Selig, somebody sent a telegram. Should I just throw it out?" I said, "No, I want to see who sent it." And it was Vince Lombardi. So that telegram meant a great deal to me.
I started out as secretary to director of player personnel. And I was there about maybe 7-8 months. And Lombardi's secretary got pregnant. And she wasn't going to come back after she had the baby. So when she left, Lombardi asked me if I wanted the job. And yeah.
As soon as I found out she was Vince Lombardi's secretary, I was given my respect and for Vince. I said, if she can be Vince Lombardi's secretary, she's good. Bang, she was hired right on the spot.
Lori Keck worked for my dad as his assistant for close to 40 years. And Lori was amazing. She was the most organized, on top of things. Nothing got past Lori. She was terrific. She was great to the family. She was phenomenal for and to my father. As I recall, she only worked for two people, Vince Lombardi and then my father. She just did an amazing job.
I typed playbooks. I handled the players' insurance. I did Dominic Olenicek, who was the president. I did his work. And I was Lombardi's correspondent secretary. I would try and decipher his handwriting. And he had the world's worst handwriting, although Selig follows a very close second. With Lombardi, we had a family. And after there was no family, there was no fun anymore. And we just... I didn't want it. I thought, took it as my opportunity to do something else. And I went on about 30 interviews in Milwaukee. Nothing felt right until the Brewers. And I said before I started looking that I didn't want another sports job. I didn't want the stress. Well, so I met Selig the day I started working for him. We got along famously. It was both of my bosses. I couldn't have asked for two better bosses. The first 2 years, I didn't realize who I was working for. I mean, I was working for Vince Lombardi, and he was a wonderful boss, and we got along very well. But it took me a little while to tumble how great this man was and what a legend I was working for. I mean, that I get goosebumps now. And it was a fantastic ride. I mean, all those championships game, he took us to the first Super Bowl. It was an amazing career.
The Lombardi era really, it was incredible. You know, I've talked about the social significance of baseball, but you know, when Lombardi was there, the impact that he made and that the Packers made, really great story. Really, really a great story.
You know, he wasn't just a football coach. He was a bit of a philosopher. He knew a little bit about everything. He could talk intelligently on any subject. Obviously, he knew his football, but he knew how to handle people. With Lombardi, football was 75% mental and 25% physical, because he knew how much he could push a player to get the best out of him. He knew when to pat him on the shoulder, and he knew when to give him a kick in the butt.
I've been a close friend of Willie Davis for a long, long time now. I guess back to about 1962. I know the respect, I know the things that he used to talk about, the coach, as he called him. And it was remarkable to me, because very oftentimes management and players are, they'll get along with each other. But it was obvious that Lombardi was different. He had made, at least on a lot of them, a real impression.
I was 21 when I started, and I was single, so I was still going out, and I would see the players at bars, and if I was sitting at the bar talking to a player, there would be people, even though they were Packer players, they respected that, but they raised the eyebrows at a white person talking to a black person, and I came up against that quite a bit. Again, in the early years, after they won a championship or two, that was not a problem. With Lombardi, I mean, he was colorblind. There wasn't an issue with him. He didn't care. You were a person, you did your job, and everything was fine.
They had an exhibition game, I think in 1960, in North Carolina. And they pulled up to the hotel, and the hotel manager came out and told them, "We don't take black players here." And Lombardi said, "You take us all or we leave." And the guy said, "Well, we're not taking them." And Lombardi left.
Rather than say, okay, we're going to stay here, you're going to stay there, he just took the whole team to an army barracks where they could all stay together, because he said, "I'm not splitting up with the team."
People often hear me talk about Jackie Robinson and Branch Rickey. In fact, I was there in 1947. It was a remarkable experience. I looked around that day and looked around in the upper deck, and we were the only white people in the upper deck. There was such excitement, though. And then I began to read a lot about Rickey and Robinson, and later on, because Robinson made it, came Henry Aaron, right here in Milwaukee, Willie Mays, Bob Gibson. You think about Branch Rickey, who brought Robinson to the big leagues against, really, people were angry. They were angry in a lot of places. But he did it. Well, nobody else had done it. And everybody was against him. They had taken a vote on the Robinson thing about 2 months before he actually did it. The vote was 15-1 against it, against bringing in a black player into baseball. But Branch Rickey, who was then president and general manager of the Dodgers, did it anyway. So I guess you'd have to say, why not?
You know, the Packers are such an iconic brand. And I think they do so many things right, and I think they understand their place in the NFL. They have an incredible organization, both on the business and football operations side, and have an incredible fan base. They do great things with Lambeau Field. They don't rest on their laurels. I think from our perspective, it's not just building a championship culture on the field. It's building a rapport with your fans and building the brand, and they have an incredible brand. And we do look to them for inspiration.
They do have an amazing history. It really, when you think about the Green Bay Packers, I mean, it's such an unusual story. And here they are, and, you know, you got the New York Football Giants and the San Francisco 49ers and the Chicago Bears. And then you have the Green Bay Packers. There's nothing else like it in sports. There's no question about that.
That tenacity, that work ethic, staying in touch with your fans. I think the Packers have done that and demonstrated that throughout their entire time as a franchise, how they're connected. And I think, you know, just the association with Commissioner Seelig being on the board it certainly permeates. And if you look at the people who run the Packers, they have that same passion, dedication, common man, common woman approach to things. And that's Commissioner Seelig, and that's what I link of the Packers, is they're a team for Wisconsin, of Wisconsin, and relevant to Wisconsin, even though they're obviously an international brand of international acclaim.
They've run the team remarkably well. They've had their ups and downs like every sports franchise has, like every business has. You think back to the Lombardi era, which is kind of sort of my era before, and I followed him closely before. My dad and I went to State Fair Park to watch him play. That's where they first played. And then we went to, of course, County Stadium, which was a great thing when they built that, because that housed the Packers and really, really helped the Packers at a time. Milwaukee really helped the Packers at a time when they needed help.
In 1994, we had reached the point where I had to pull us out of Milwaukee. And the first person I called was Bud Selig, because Bud was trying to build a new stadium, was including the Packers in all of his building plans. And I said to him, I said, Bud, what would it do to you if we pulled out of Milwaukee? And he says, Bob, I'll put this in a nice way. It'll help us. He said, in two ways. He says, my stadium will be cheaper because it'll be smaller. And he said, it'll be much more intimate if I don't have to make way for a football field. But that's how much I thought about that. I wouldn't have done that if it would have hurt him.
And then, of course, Bob moved to Green Bay, which is clearly the right thing to do. I think Bob stayed here as long as he could, and I know he helped us, but they did what they should do. As much as Bob is a fan as I am, the business decision was clearly the right one.
I'll say to him something about Lambeau Field, and he says, Bob, remember those days when everybody thought I was stupid for doing Miller Park and they thought you were stupid for doing Lambeau Field? He says, what are they saying now?
The Packers are a source of great pride to people. It's interesting to me. And wherever you go, there are always Packer fans.
You have to look at them as a model sports franchise and as a model business, not just in sports, because they've done so many things right, and they have such an allegiance, not only locally, but around the world. There are Packer fans in Pakistan, Russia, Sweden, not just in Wisconsin, but they populate everywhere, and the green and gold is so visible. It's such an iconic jersey, and the franchise is really a true sports brand.
It's so aberrational. That's what makes it so good. And I think people do feel a part of it. I took some friends last year. We went to Lambeau Field for a game. The husband was from Milwaukee originally. He's a great Packer fan. But I watched him at Lambeau Field. He was like a little kid. He kept saying to me, I can't believe I'm at Lambeau Field. Yeah, you're at Lambeau Field.
There's an ambiance. There's an energy. There's a memory created. And, you always remember your first baseball game. I remember my first football game. You remember the experiences, and they often don't have anything to do with the score of the game. It's who you're with. It's what's going on in your life. It's the people you're surrounded with. And, ultimately, the experience is the product of many things.
Going to football games back then in the Lombardi days, we dressed up in heels. All my new clothes were for a Packer game each Sunday. You had to have a new outfit on. Women would wear their mink coats to the games. And there was a woman sitting in front, and I smoked at the time. She turned around and she said, I hope you're not going to smoke. I'm wearing mink, Jeez.
Wisconsin fans they're very loyal people. They're loyal to their schools. They're loyal to their sports teams. They're loyal to their jobs, loyal to their communities. And I think that manifests itself in how they view the sports teams. There's always a little bit of a feeling in Wisconsin that, we're not as big as Chicago, or we're not as maybe cosmopolitan as Minnesota, but we have our sports teams, and, we obviously have a great legacy. The Packers, have an enviable legacy of success, and, we're trying to recreate that in Milwaukee with the Brewers, but people love the teams through thick and thin. There's a sense of it's us versus everybody else, and we're small market maybe, but we're big-hearted, and we're big fans, and we support our teams at disproportionate levels to the size of the population base here.
I went up to speak to the whole Packer organization, and Mark Murphy had invited me and everybody there. But I walked around Lambeau Field, and you say to yourself, this is remarkable. Look at this place. It's as big as the city is. And they sell out every game, and there's a wonderful loyalty. And you have then all this history. And for those of us that have followed the Packers, you go all the way back into the late 40s, early 50s, and then, of course, into the famed Lombardi era.
Being in a sports team, I know things don't happen by osmosis or organically. They are a product of a lot of great decision-making, a lot of risk-taking, trial and error, but most of all, great personnel. And you don't become the Packers you know, by having less than the best people on the business side and the football operations side. And it's not just drafting well. It's how you cultivate relationships with your fans. It's how you build your team. It's what you do with connections with your stadium and your fans. It's how you make the ballpark or the football stadium such an integral part of the experience. It's a lot of individual decision making. It's a lot of detail, a lot of hard work. And it's not just on game days that this happens.
I think sports, baseball or football, or any sport for that matter, is important to the fans, to the world in general, because there's so many bad things going on right now that it takes their mind off of their own problems, the world's problems. They get to go into a stadium or watch it on TV for a few hours and just be entertained and forget about the cares of the world.
I'm very proud of the Packers, you bet. The dedication of people and their determination to do well. And things happen because people do this, and they don't happen, as I said, by accident. Wonderful story for sports, wonderful story for football, more importantly, a wonderful story for Green Bay and for Wisconsin.